Week 10 of the NFL is upon us, and it's time for another edition of the Mojo Break Blitz. Cody, Doug, and Dan with you as always. This week, we're going to be really focusing on the hobby. We're more than halfway through the NFL season, so there's a lot of releases now that are out and about in the hobby, and we're going to talk about which ones are the best, maybe best bang for your buck, best overall, maybe some of the ones that are a little underwhelming. But before we do that, guys, let's talk about the action on the field. Week 9 had some interesting matchups, and if we're really focusing on the hobby, I think all of our eyes were glued to that Cardinals-Dolphins game last week. Kyler, one of the hottest names in the hobby. Tua, who is one of the big rookies right now in the NFL. What'd you guys think of last week's action, specifically that game, which really did live up to all the hype?
It was an amazing game, and I said on the feed earlier this week that that could be a potential Super Bowl matchup in the next 5 years with both those teams on the rise, both those quarterbacks on the rise. I think people forgot about the Dolphins. They've been doing some moves and getting rid of some guys. You know, they got rid of Tunsil. They got rid of some key names last year to get draft picks, and they put themselves in a position to be good for years. And the scheme, the defensive scheme, as we see when they crushed the Rams, the defensive scheme is very well run. And if they get some more talent on that offense with Tua, I think you're talking about a team that's going to be winning that division for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it was the game to watch, back and forth. Man, like, I don't know how the Rams couldn't put up more points, but the Cardinals put up 30, 31.
I think the running quarterback is what kind of gives them a little
Jared
bit more
Jared Goff's
problems.
A burner, man. That guy could.
That's right.
You ever see him run?
Stone feet.
They call him Galloping Goff for a reason. You know?
Tua looked a lot more comfortable in that game than he did against the Rams. He probably had a little first game jitters going against the Rams, and you're looking directly at the best player in the league right across from you. So that can be a little scary. But it's Aaron Donald, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Oh, yeah. He did really good against the Niners this year.
Yeah, well, he will. Don't worry. Your boy, the injury bug, also hit the Niners again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it Jaquaski Tart out for the year?
Yeah.
Man, you guys.
Pack it up.
The one thing you guys are good at is getting hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are leading the league in at least one thing, so I guess it's that.
I mean, I read that, and I'm like, man, I'm like, who's next?
Yeah, and seeing what the Saints did to the Buccaneers last week, you just say your prayers and hope for the best when the Niners face them this week.
The old forfeit? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, and you know what?
We're just not going to do
it?
Yeah,
the old, like, Madden, like, had halftime, you're down, like, 30, and then you just quit the game, you know? That just, maybe if you could do that in real life, I don't know.
Just unplug the power out of the wall.
Exactly.
And, hey, I'll be the first one to say that I'll eat some crow from what I said last week. Terry C. on Twitter, hey, threw out that hoot at. I know he's a big New Orleans fan. Tom Brady, probably not in the MVP conversation. I know I was trying to squeeze his name in there last week.
He was last week, absolutely. He was before that game. And if they go on a run here, maybe he still is. But the Saints are obviously his kryptonite this year. It's pretty remarkable.
Let's just say that pick did not age well, with no pun intended.
Well, just with Michael Thomas on the field now, Drew Brees looks so much better.
Yeah, he does.
That made a world of difference. And they're balanced. They got a decent defense. Last week, with you talking about Tom Brady being an MVP candidate, I think you were just smoking that hippie lettuce, man.
Yeah, I might need to do some more of that after the Saints-Niners game this weekend.
Smoking that tree, dude.
At least the game's on at 10. It'll be over. It'll only be like ripping off a Band-Aid.
That's true.
This weekend. But
You're missing. And then you get ready for the big game.
Are we playing the Rams after that?
No. The Rams are playing the
Rams,
the Seahawks.
That's a good matchup.
Yeah,
that's
we'll
a really good
125.
Matchup.
I mean,
the Masters will be finishing up, so I'll be tuning
dude,
in
you ain't going to watch golf.
I'm watching some Bryson DeChambeau right now. That's like, you know what? I know everybody said it, but I did not know how much fun it would be to watch a real life Happy Gilmore in golf. Just saying that. I'm all aboard the DeChambeau.
I'm not real familiar. What?
Tell
me more.
Dude, he looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger swinging the golf club.
This guy must eat like 3 steaks every day. He is jacked, and he rips the ball. Like, there was one ball he hit so hard, it literally got stuck in the fairway, into the ground. Like, this guy is a monster. I am all aboard. I want every golfer to look like, you know, like Andre Scalaraga. Like, that's what he is, basically. and I'm all for it. I love it. This is great. You know, or look like Aaron Donald, basically.
That's for golf's sake, hopefully Tiger will be playing on Sunday. Because if not, then they will be people watching the Seahawks Rams.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of players that shot really well in the first round.
Yeah.
I think it's Dustin Johnson who's number one.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have never thought that we were doing a football podcast and we just jumped into
here
golf.
We go.
I mean, I don't know much, but
that's my base knowledge is, hey, Tiger, cool if he's there. DeChambeau, all for it. That's about it. Yeah,
I think of golf, I think of photos of Charles Barkley.
Oh yeah.
His swing.
Yeah.
It's pretty funky.
It's pretty good.
It's rough. Well, let's get a little bit away from golf here and focus back on football and focus on the hobby. We are more than halfway through the season, so we've got a lot of releases in the card game that are out right now for NFL fans. We've got NFL Prism coming up in just a week or so, so that's one of the big releases, obviously, of the year. But there are still plenty of big releases to talk about. Doug, I'll start with you. I've got a picture up of a few of the big releases this year. I think one of the cooler ones, you know, and again, I'm sort of getting back into things here, but with the Kaboom cards, the Absolute cards, that's one of my favorites all year so far. I didn't think I would be super into the inserts. I'm all about the autos. I think you guys maybe too feel that same way, but that's a card I think that's really cool, and I like that look. So just a personal favorite of mine to start things off. But what have been some of the best releases you think this year for collectors? And then we'll get into maybe some of the ones that have maybe underwhelmed a little bit. But Doug, I'll start with you.
I mean, I think that for me, Phoenix has been a bright spot. That it's kind of gotten to the point where it's become a staple release for them. And I think maybe not necessarily now, but if you're looking to buy some Phoenix cards, I would wait until after Prism is released, which actually Prism does not come out next week now. It's coming out, a version of it's coming out the 27th of November, and then the hobby version is coming out December 2nd. So they're letting that thing marinate a little bit longer, make sure it's a good release for everybody. But my point about Phoenix is some of these numbered parallels of these big rookies, you could wait maybe until after Prism releases and then grab some of those up, get them graded, get some PSA 10s out there, and then the sky could be the limit on those investments. But I think with the combination of the design with the colored going on in the background and then the Prism kind of optichrome popping out at you, I think it's kind of a sleeper product. So that was one of my surprises. And I'm also on board with the Kabooms. The more I see the Kabooms, I'm a fan.
Yeah, wow. You guys took both my answers. It was going to be Phoenix number one, and then if somebody picked Phoenix, I was going to go Absolute. I go both.
You talk about the Immaculate and the NT Collegiate with the patches.
Fantastic. I could, but I don't want to. I'm not going to.
I don't want.
I'd be lying. I'd be lying to the people.
Well, no, it sounds like that might be the right way to go if we're all picking.
No, I gotta go Phoenix. I think Phoenix made that jump into a staple product, as you were saying before. I think it's one of those. I think going into next year, there's going to be even more hype around it. I want them to actually keep the same configuration. Don't mess with it. I like the way it is right now with the base cards and the amount of hits. Don't make a choice version of it. Don't make a no huddle version of it.
Well, they do have the Fanatic set.
That's fine. I can deal with a set. Nobody's breaking open the set unless you want to go get them individually graded and stuff like that. But don't mess with the configuration. Don't do it. Just let's keep Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. What about some products that have maybe underwhelmed this year for you guys? Any that come to mind off the top of your head? Some that maybe just didn't quite live up to the hype, or maybe just kind of were dead on arrival?
I would say Flagship Donruss. I wasn't a huge fan of it. I know it's an early release. There's not a lot they can do to spice it up, but it was a so-so. I mean, considering all the hype we had coming into it, I thought I would have been a little bit more excited about it. The other one was a Panini Direct release, which I think the card design's good, but for whatever reason, it's not really catching on to the market, is Panini Zenith.
Mm-hmm.
Probably could have gone without that. But yeah, those are the two that I feel underperformed.
And mine may be a victim of COVID here with Elite. I wasn't really too excited about Elite. I think they, you know, they kind of have to do stuff like they did with Elite early on to get the product out there. But I didn't really, I wasn't a huge fan of the Pen Pals autos this year. I think that it's kind of been a design for me that's kind of underwhelming all every year. But now, you know, some guys aren't in their jerseys. The base has a lot going on in it. And I know a lot of people love Elite, so they're, you know, they may be crushing me in the comments here. But just Elite didn't do it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and just to wrap it up with this conversation about what we've seen so far, just a general state of the hobby. I think this has been obviously a crazy year where the NBA season just kept going and going and going, and it was a big NBA rookie class, and that has bled into a lot of those NBA collectors jumping to the NFL, and luckily a huge NFL rookie class, especially those top three quarterbacks who are all performing right now, all have had their moments, all have been at a high level. What do you guys think about the state of the hobby right now? Are we in a good spot? Is this sustainable? Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is going to be coming out next year in the NFL draft. So I've got the feeling that this is just going to keep gaining steam as we go along, especially with another guy who's coming out of the draft next year, number one quarterback in the draft, who is even being maybe more highly touted than any of those top three guys that were in the draft this year, Burrow, Tua, and Herbert.
Yeah, I mean, we're barely through a quarter of the release calendar, I would say. So you still got, you know, 8-9 months of this of the 2020 rookies, and you still have some of the biggest releases in Prism, National Treasures, Contenders, Optic, you know, there's a few I'm probably missing here, Encased, you know, Immaculate Regular. I know we've had the Collegiate, so, and then Flawless, of course, to end out the year. So there's a probably a good solid 8 months. I mean, I'm hearing rumors. So they're going to have a card show this weekend in Dallas, and it's become almost the demand for having a live card show has been through the roof because there was no national. Things have been canceled because of COVID. I'm hearing Steve Aoki, Marshmello, Rob Kardashian, the owner of StockX, Gary V, will all be in attendance. I don't know how big this place is. I'm not familiar with the Dallas area. I mean, that tells me a lot that those guys are really willing to go there during these times. Risk stuff. I mean, you know, I'm not going to get political here, but go ahead and risk possibly getting sick in a room full of people that are looking and handling cards because of the demand of the cards. That tells you how big this thing's getting right now.
I think Marshmello shows up as Marshmello. Like,
I don't think he can show up as anything else.
You
right?
You think he goes to a card show? He's just like going through your display cases with a giant marshmallow head. Like,
well, see,
I mean, I'm actually just curious because I mean, he can walk into a room and nobody would know who,
right?
Or she. Yeah, I don't know. It's a guy.
Yeah,
it's
there is images of him without his mask, but I think mostly or his headpiece, whatever you call it. But I think there is.
Yeah, it's not a mask, dude. That's
it's a headpiece.
Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, but obviously, any public appearance on TV, he's got his moniker going.
Of course,
which is
kind of genius.
You got
to,
but yeah, I mean, I'm curious. I
think that's the best way if you're going to be a super celebrity. To try to live your regular life.
Absolutely.
Is to have, you know, I used to listen to the Insane Clown Posse as a teenager.
Wow.
And, you know, I always thought, people like, I didn't know that about you.
Wow, everybody's like, well,
I've never been to the Gathering of the Juggalos, by the way.
Dang.
But anyways.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you had some Faygo in the past?
Like, but I always thought it was genius for them to be able to go out and they can do their, and they were just paint, go their stage life and then, you know, have their personal life. And maybe a lot of people aren't going to know who they are because they don't have the paint.
That's true. Yeah, Daft Punk had it right first. If they walked in the room right now, I'd have no idea
exactly
who they were. They were onto something, clearly. Let's talk about some of the on-the-field news. There was some big news in the NFL this week. If you've been following the NFL, it feels like every week we're hearing more and more. You mentioned it in terms of having some live card shows, but you're hearing it more and more every week, and you're hearing it throughout the country, clearly. COVID is on the rise, and unfortunately, there's no way to get around it. It's going to be here, and the NFL is dealing with it, and they're having a hard time with it. A lot of teams have been facing it. No big cancellations yet, but as we get deeper into the winter, that may change, and the NFL has released some preliminary plans if indeed there have to be some canceled games, specifically games where there is playoff chances on the line. There are playoff scenarios on the line. They are saying that if any of those games have to get canceled, they are going to go to an 8-team format. We're already at a point where we have expanded to 14 teams before we knew about any of these scenarios playing out. Now it sounds like if indeed there is any pivotal games canceled, we're going to get an 8-team per conference playoff. No bye weeks, but division winners will still get a home game. I think there was a scenario where it was just going to be the top 8 seed. So a team like the Eagles would go from being a division winner to being the 8th seed and not hosting a game. That won't be the case. Even these, 7-win Eagles possibly are going to be able to host a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, I'll start with you. What do you think about the NFL's proposal here for an 8-team playoff? Is this something that sort of like what baseball was dealing with, something that they try out and say, hey, maybe we should just keep this going for the time being?
I think, I think they kind of look at what's happening right now and panicked a little bit.
Yeah.
They probably should have done this in the first place. I mean, I think we talked about it already. It's better to be safe than sorry. And then trying to adapt at that time when you're dealing with the conflict, when if you basically just planned ahead, they should have just came out instantly and said, hey, if we can't get through the full season, we will have 8 teams. I mean, it wouldn't really affect how the teams are playing. All the teams are trying to go out there and win games. I mean, no one's essentially tanking right now.
I'm sure the Jets would say we're out. Cool. We're done.
We're done. We're
done
gonna,
this year.
They're gonna. We're
not gonna play any games anymore.
We're gonna be 1-7 or whatever they are.
I think they're 0-8, right?
No, they've won a game, right?
No, they almost.
They almost.
They point, almost beat the Patriots.
0.5.
Yeah.
No, I think they're 0-8. They have not won. So
they have not won.
I mean, if you think about that, I mean, they may be playing. Obviously, they will be playing some teams that have some playoff implications. But
I think you do that though. Then you whoever wins it, unfortunately, is gonna get the asterisks because it's like, well, especially if they were like the 7th or 8th team to like sneak into the playoffs and then they end up going to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's going to take away from their victory. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to win a Super Bowl no matter what. How many teams make the playoffs?
You know, it's funny. We thought the same thing during the baseball podcast. And what happened? It wound up being the 1-1 seeds, right?
Yeah.
So, which I did not anywhere close. I mean, I gave the Dodgers some credit, but I had the Rays out the first two series. I had them losing to the Blue Jays.
Not Cody.
No.
I think Cody actually called the Rays.
I picked the Dodgers to win the World Series. I thought it would be Cleveland who, were gone after 2 games. So
yeah. But that just shows you that you can.
I do remember you talking about the podcast that we were on. You were definitely talking about the Rays.
I was talking up the Rays, absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah. I'm using that as an example you think that these teams are going to squeeze in and maybe upset somebody, but it did not happen in baseball. No. So
yeah, I mean, but football, it's a one.
Yeah,
it's a one and done game. Yeah. Like there is no 3-game series. It's like we've all seen it. We've all seen the better team go out there on paper and just not show up.
Well, I think the fortunate thing with football, as we see, and I'm a Niner fan, so I know this very well, is that maybe like the Steelers are the number one seed, then they beat the 8th seed, but then Roethlisberger gets hurt because there's so many injuries going on right now that now you're playing like the Steelers are playing the Ravens with Mason Rudolph. So, yeah. I mean, because I think what's really going to happen is the guys maybe getting COVID and they're going to still have to play the game. And that's another question that I didn't even think about. Like, what happens if, let's say
Patrick Mahomes?
Like, yeah. What if, or like, say the Vikings get in and Dalvin Cook has COVID? Are they going to reschedule the game?
You can't.
I know. So
you can't. I mean,
yeah, Patrick Mahomes would be like, what do you do? You gonna okay?
I think. Are you trying to get to the point about the Green Bay Packers 49ers game?
That no, was, that's not a point at all. Like, No.
I know you brought it up. You're all well. If it was Aaron Rodgers who had COVID, the game probably would have been pushed to Sunday.
Could have been.
I think if you're looking for any answer of how would the NFL handle that, unfortunately, I think you got to look at Game 6 of the 2020 World Series, where, yeah, Justin Turner's not Mookie Betts on the Dodgers, but, like, we didn't know until the final, till after the game, till after the fact. Look, I'm not... I guess for me, I just don't naturally give the hires up of any major sports league the benefit of the doubt when it comes to making the decision that's just, you know, the morally right decision. So I don't know. Maybe again, I'm being too pessimistic.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's just let's use this hypothetical here, right? Say it's Chiefs, Seahawks, Super Bowl. You have the storyline, Russell Wilson. You got Mahomes. Everybody loves Mahomes.
Yeah, great matchup.
And then in the morning of the Super Bowl, after the week long, let's just say there's a week long, you know, Super Bowl promotion like they normally do. We don't know if that's going to happen this year, but let's just say Patrick Mahomes tests positive on Super Bowl Sunday.
But are you?
Goodell's probably going to be like, we didn't know. I mean,
we don't know. We're going to be speculating here. But getting back to Justin Turner, you're telling me that there's nobody in the Dodgers organization before the game started that knew he had tested
It's hard
positive.
To believe.
It's hard to believe. And Justin Turner batting cleanup for that team.
Yeah.
And was having a heck of a postseason and a heck of a World Series.
He was.
You take him out of the lineup, and there's a chance the Dodgers don't win that game.
Right, right.
And if it is a positive COVID test, he ain't going to be playing game seven.
And that's baseball. You got to think the revenues from ads for the Super Bowl is 100 times more.
That's the thing. Okay,
yeah.
Do we think, again, speculating here, and it's just having a conversation, do you think there's been any NFL players who have played in games that have had COVID?
Not at this point. I don't think so.
Maybe.
I mean, but who knows? Maybe is a good answer.
With no symptoms, I don't think that's a crazy thought.
Yeah, I think there have been players who have absolutely played.
Yeah.
And not being asymptomatic and not knowing and going that. I mean, if that wasn't happening, then how are all these players getting COVID?
Well, and then here's also the thing. If you're the opposing team in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl's huge. Or maybe even the playoffs are big, too. Are you allowed to see the tests of the other team to see that everybody was positive? Because then at some point somebody would be like,
"Oh, I don't. I think that would be a direct HIPAA violation."
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what? I think we talked about how the schedule is going to make it so we can't have that 2 week period, that bye week before the Super Bowl. But now, the more I think about it, it's not even just as a resting thing. Like, it's just kind of a necessity.
Right.
You have to have it. Just quarantine these guys for 2 weeks. Have them practice the week before, obviously.
That's true. I didn't look at that.
They kind of have to quarantine. Maybe you don't have media night, obviously, or media day.
Zooms.
It's all going to be Zoom media. Like, you kind of have to have that bye week now just to guarantee that you're not going to have a, oh, my God, the best player on the field, it has COVID on the biggest day of the football season.
Yes.
That's, I think it's now almost guaranteed.
No. I mean, maybe they look into something similar to a playoff bubble like baseball did.
Yeah.
And if you make the playoffs, you basically are going to be isolated for the, you know, month.
Yeah. That's probably what they're going to have to do. So we'll see. Hopefully this is all just us talking and we finish a regular season and there's very few cases, and you know, we can worry about what happens next year instead.
That's the hope. By the way, amid all this, the NFL also announced The Weeknd will be performing at the halftime show at the Super Bowl. So,
awesome.
still all plans going ahead as planned. So, anyway, let's make some picks for Week 10 of the NFL. I am not here to gloat. I'm not gonna brag, but we do have a new leader at the top of the standings.
Me?
And he's talking right now. I'm just saying. So,
actually, Doug was kind of talking as well.
That's true.
Yes, and when you said that, I was I'm like, I know it's not me.
Yeah, now I am gonna take all.
You got a half game lead, or?
It is a Doug and Dan both. You guys split last week. I went 2-0, so I've got the 1 game lead right now. In the standings, but all of that could change. It's getting a little deeper into the season, so we had that rule. You can only pick a team twice, so the options are running low. I'll throw out my picks here first. I'm going to go with the NFC East matchup. I don't like usually picking that division, but I'm running out of teams. So I'm going to go the Eagles over the Giants this week. The Eagles, I think, are finally starting to maybe realize.
And you'll be the only one watching that game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Me and all of the Philly, me and Gritty will be watching that game. That's about it. But I think the Eagles are finally starting to realize, oh, wait a minute, we're the only team that's even marginally good in this division. So I think they're going to take that one pretty easily. And I'm going to go with a team that's now with a possible 8-game playoff scenario, I think are easily in a spot in the AFC. The Las Vegas Raiders. I think they're going to beat the Broncos this week and really start to look like they are playoff primed and ready.
I'm going with some tough ones. I'm going to make it hard on myself this week. And you heard me double down on the Dolphins, which I've gotten correct the last 2 weeks in a row.
That's right.
I'm actually going against the Dolphins this week because I don't
think... You can't go Dolphins again.
Okay. No, well, yeah, exactly. So I'm going against
actually,
the Dolphins.
Yeah, and I think I have to change my picks on the fly. Because I don't know if I've picked these teams twice already.
Oh, well, yeah, we'll go to the rule board. But it's the battle of two of the top three rookies. You got Tua going against Justin Herbert. They are in Miami, so this is a tough pick. I'm going the Chargers. They almost beat the Raiders by one play last week. They got called back. So I think they're going to be, really salivating over that victory because they got so close. I think they're going to beat the Dolphins. And I think the Dolphins are running on a high. They're like, wait, we're 5-3? This is crazy. So I think they're going to take the Chargers for granted. The Chargers defense is good. Granted, a little banged up. And those receivers on the Chargers are, I think, going to burn some of the Dolphins. My next one's going to be the Vikings over the Bears. So two road teams I picked this week. I got the Vikings going into town. Dalvin Cook's killing it right now. Even when Madison comes in, he's been running very well. And I think the Bears obviously are very suspect at their record anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and go on the fly. Picking the Lions over Washington and the Browns over my Super Bowl pick, Houston Texans.
Still a chance.
I don't think so, Cody. I really don't.
Crazier things have happened. Crazier things have happened, but you know what? In fact, they have not.
They have not.
No.
They have not. They have a zero chance. If they would have traded Will Fuller, I think he was all.
They
but
probably should have.
He was all. I thought he was going to go to Green Bay. They were. Yeah. Green Bay was. I mean, I think they had a locker already ready for him.
Oh, like, yeah, it was all set. He had the tweet out like, "I'm waiting. I've got
waiting."
The bags
he's
packed.
Like, and go. He was probably like, "I get to go to Green Bay, playoff run. I mean, Aaron Rodgers throwing me the ball. He has Devontae Adams on the other side. That actually may have put them
dangerous
over and." I mean, with the running game of Aaron Jones, that might have done it. But it was actually a really, really, really quiet trade deadline.
It was.
And
I thought it would be a lot busier this year.
Excluding the last couple years, that's how it used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL trade deadline was crickets, always crickets. You would get maybe a third string linebacker or like a backup safety or a blocking tight end or something like that. Never any big deals, but within the last couple of years, maybe 3 years, you had the Jimmy Garoppolo trade.
Yep.
The Rams were like super active the last couple of years, getting trading away Marcus Peters and trading away Aqib Talib and getting Jalen Ramsey. So
it's like I feel like the NFL there was a year where suddenly GMs went, oh wait, we can trade too, we can do that, like, okay, then I'm gonna keep trading, like, and then suddenly the floodgates open where people realize you can make
trades. They really were like, we can trade away and obtain draft capital.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think really is allowed teams to build for the present, like a present run, and it's also allowed teams that were really bad to rebuild a lot faster than they would be able to. And you could look at like a team like the Miami Dolphins.
Exactly.
It was not that long ago where there was not one person on their team that was an untouchable. I mean, they traded away, Doug talked about it earlier, Tunsil. They traded away Minkah Fitzpatrick. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah. And now they're sitting at the doorstep probably.
About ready to make a playoff run.
That's right. Well, that'll do it for this week for the Mojo Break Blitz. Make sure to subscribe to us here on YouTube if you're watching us there, Mojo Break Media, and of course our main feed on Mojo Break for all of your live breaks and much more. We also got Mojo Break Card Shop. Check us out there. We'll have personal breaks coming soon over there. For Doug and Dan, I'm Cody. We'll talk to you next week on the Mojo Break Blitz.